Following is a question and answer session given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 16, 1995 in Durban, South Africa. The Q&A occurred during the Rathiatra Festival.
Came up. And sometimes the Ganges goes up to touch the feet of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Mangal, one ancient scripture, it talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a child. He's like that golden form of Krishna who came down in this planet and by the side of the Ganges. And there was one devotee of the Ganges, of the Ganga River, who is a very dear devotee of the Lord. The Ganga River is considered blessed by the Lord because it's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. So this devotee would go every day, worship the Ganga, to offer arati to the Ganga, and to do his meditation in the Ganges water. One day he was staying in his Gayatri, and the water started to come up higher and higher and higher, and go down and up and down and up and down and up. Down, up. What's going on? Why is the Ganges water going up and up? And he looked, and there he saw this golden boy walking by the side of the Ganges. As he was going away from the Ganges, the river water was coming up to touch his lotus feet. And he walked down, and the Ganges water would go down and up according to where he was walking. And when he came away too high, the Ganges coming up, out from the Ganges came the deity form of the Ganges. Who knows what color the Ganges deity is? Anyone knows? That's a hard one. She's the color of the full moonlight. Beautiful white, wearing white, moonlight color, wearing whitish garments. Very beautiful goddess form. She came out from the water and started to offer prayers to Lord Chaitanya as a child. That you are my master, you are my lord, please have your mercy on me, don't leave me, give me your association, so on. She bowed down and then she went back into the... So this devotee, whole life he's worshipping the sacred river, but he never saw the deity form, immediately jumped out of the water and came and offered his obeisances to the Ganges. He could see his worshipable deity. Then he saw the Ganges go back in the water and disappear, her divine form was invisible again. So then he came over and he paid his obeisances to this child and said, who are you? You must be Krishna because Ganga would only worship Vishnu. So then he begged to reveal yourself. So the child changed his form and showed that he was actually Krishna playing on the flute, threefold bending form. And then he again took his form as Lord Chaitanya. He said that I have come here for a special pastime to give out love for Godhead. If you want to see the pastimes, you're welcome. But don't tell anybody who I am till after I leave. Because I don't want people to know that I'm God himself, because it will be no fun. I'm coming here playing the part as an ordinary devotee. So don't disturb my play. If you want to watch it, you can. Just don't tell anybody. If you tell, I have to remove you to the other world. So, in this way, the Ganges often wants to come and touch the feet of the Lord. So, in this time, she came up and touched the feet of Narasimhadev, and then she went back down. Sai Ganga Maniki said, even if you remember the name of Ganga, you get purified like a bath by saying the two syllables of her name, So you can all repeat. Ganga! Also, if you chant the syllables of Lord Chaitanya's name, then you can also get the special blessing of Krishna Prema. Gauranga! 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 So, that's something about the Ganga. How did Narad Muni come about? How did it came about? Well, Narada Muni, that's mentioned in the first canto of Bhagavatam, how in his previous life he was a maidservant. He was the son of a maidservant of some saint. And at the 5 years of age, he used to get some of the Krishna prasadam from their plate. And he would hear them talk about Krishna consciousness. And this way he became very wise at an early age. Then the saints left and his mother got bit by a snake and died. And he was all alone and he went wandering around the world and he went to a holy place. And there he was worshipping the Lord and meditating, remembering what he had heard from those saints as a child. And he could realize Krishna. When he got Krishna realization, he got some blessings from Krishna, and then later when it was time for him to die, he all of a sudden he was chanting and all of a sudden like a lightning, he was freed from his material body. There was no pain, there was no suffering. He could look down and see there was his material body and he was with a spiritual form. He had achieved a spiritual form and a spiritual body, and then he got the blessing from the Lord to be able to travel all over the universe and praise the glories of the Lord. So he became a liberated soul in this universe. And he's our spiritual master in our disciplic succession. He's the second spiritual master after Lord Brahma. So Narada Muni is a very special devotee. Sometimes he comes to these festivals. Did anybody see Narada Muni today in the kirtan? You see, if you're very fortunate, sometimes you can see him. How does one become Krishna conscious if one is a big sudra? No signature. You see, anybody can become Krishna conscious. Anyone. Doesn't matter whether you're intellectual or whether you're a worker or whatever you might be. The secret is you need to, please don't smoke in here. The secret is to chant the Maha Mantra. Who knows the Maha Mantra? You can say the Maha Mantra. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Give this child one. Well, very good. So the Maha Mantra, you see, being a sutra, being whatever it might be, we get a particular body because of our karma from our previous life. But when we chant Hare Krishna, we get purified from all kinds of contaminations and we can easily achieve the pure spiritual status. So this way, there's no obstacle for anyone to be Krishna conscious, no matter what occupation or what nature they may have. If someone's big sudra means they're clean and they're hardworking. So there's so much work to be done here. You see, the devotees are from morning to night, they're distributing this prasadam. So you can distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, work hard for Krishna, and you can go back to Krishna. No problem. But we have no shortage of work to be done. You see. So if someone is a good hard worker, no problem. You can get to Krishna easy. It's more difficult for the lazy fellows. But for the workers, no problem. Does a living entity who commits suicide enter the body of a ghost. Well, this question is kind of written in a funny way. No one signed it again. You see, we have to understand who are we. Where's that mic man? Mr. Mike? We are a physical body with a subtle body and a soul. We are the soul, actually, and we are having a subtle body and a gross body. When we dream at night, we go out in our subtle body, but we are connected with the gross body. You see? When we die, the subtle body goes with the soul, and we go to another body. That's called transmigration of the soul or reincarnation. We take a new birth. Now everyone has got a certain time that you're supposed to be in this body. When you're born, you're given a period of time to remain in this body. Maybe 527 trillion, 400 billion, 372 million, 862 breaths. Or whatever. I'm just giving as an example. Whenever you use up all your breath, you're finished in this life. You can extend your life by doing devotional service. You can shorten your life by doing some kinds of offensive things, like offending a chaste woman. Like Draupadi was offended and shortened the life of Duryodhana. Or offending if you're Vaishnava, so many other things. We can shorten life also. But we are born with a certain fixed period and you can extend it or shorten it some ways. Now if someone commits suicide, they were already supposed to live, say they were supposed to live 72 years. They were 36 after life and they got frustrated, decided I'm going to commit suicide. But they still have to be in the body for 36 more years. So that 36 years, they're not allowed to go on to the next birth. So it's not that they think, go into the body of a ghost. But the body of a ghost is the subtle body without a gross body. That's what a ghost is. So we already have that subtle body, the ghostly body is already part of us. But because we're inside a physical body, it's not, that's how we are rightly situated. When you kill that gross body, then we don't get to take another birth until our time is up. Now, sometimes if the ghosts hear the chanting of the holy name, they get forgiven for that karma and they go back to the next birth. That's why generally when the names of God are chanted, the ghosts don't like it, they go away. Because they think they're being killed, they don't know what's happening. Actually, they're being liberated to the next birth. Enough about ghosts. Let's go on to the next question. So why is Lord... I don't know, everyone likes... I think so many movies about ghosts nowadays. Don't commit suicide. No, it's a hopeless thing. You don't gain anything by it. Better to chant Hare Krishna. You see? And get spiritually... solve all your problems. Why is Lord Balaram also known as the original guru, original spiritual master? Lord Balaram is also the original devotee, you could say, because he is the first expansion of the Lord. Therefore, if anyone has a question, he has a paper here. You can write your question on the paper. If you want to sign it, we'll reveal your identity. Otherwise, you don't have to sign it. And no one will know, except Krishna. So, Balaram is the first expansion. He is also the devotee. Although he is the Lord, he is also a devotee of Krishna. And he, what is the guru? The guru is the one who brings us to Krishna. So by the mercy of Balaram, we get to Krishna. So the guru tattva is coming from Balaram. His blessings are there to bring one to serve Krishna. And all the gurus are considered to be the representative of Balaram. Or Lord Nityananda, who is not different from Balaram. So we should respect Balaram in that way. That's why he's known as the original spiritual master. Because he's the first one to reveal how to serve Krishna. and he has passed that information down. He expands himself also into Anantasesha, the serpent incarnation. Please explain the role of faith in Krishna consciousness. One day I was walking in the street in South India, and one man came up to me and asked me, "Every religion says you must have faith. Every religion says you have to have blind faith. Isn't there one religion? You don't have to have blind faith. You don't have to just have faith. Without any faith, you can achieve success." This is India for you, walking in the street, you know. In the West, people say, "Why are you wearing the white mark on your forehead?" They don't know what it is. But in India, you go in the street, they ask questions like this. It's a very spiritual place. Who knows the answer? Anyone knows the answer? What process is there that even without faith it works? Can anyone say? Chanting the holy names of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna. Give a loud applause here. Someone get me a Vega Prasad, I'll give some more concrete rewards. You get one from the Govinda. What is the example of someone who chanted the name of the Lord and didn't even know he was chanting the name of the Lord, and he got all perfection? Ajaneel. Well, that's true. Any other? So give here one louder. Any other examples? Valmiki, here for Sambhunas. A loud applause. Valmiki, in his previous identity, he was a criminal. He met Narada Muni, and Narada preached to him. And after many lessons, he realized that he had to change his ways. He said, "You tell me what to do, I want to reform myself." So he said, "You should chant the names of God." He said, "I can't do that. My whole life I've been a murderer, a killer, a robber, a thief. I can't say things like that. I can't say anything holy. That's not my nature. You have to give me something more suitable." So then Narada Muni said, "All right, could you chant the word murder in Sanskrit again and again?" He said, "That's no problem. I can chant murder, 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 because it's what I've been doing all along. It's my second nature. Murder, kill, murder, murder, murder." But in Sanskrit, what is the name for murder? For kill? Mara. What do we have here? I don't know if I can get it open. Is it ice cream? Alright, here we go. Who said Mara? You had to split it. Who said it? Alright. You split, you can split. Anyone else? So, he said, "Mara, Mara, 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 Mara." This means hit, kill. So he was chanting, "Mara, Mara, 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 Mara." You chant together and what comes out? Rama, 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 Rama. Too many answers, I can't give them a try. Rama, 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 Rama. So I told this person, you see, he had a faith in Guru. Guru told him, "You chant kill, kill, kill. You chant mara, mara, mara." So he chanted. But he had no understanding that I chant the name of God. He had no specific faith or any knowledge. But the name of God is so powerful. It's like fire. You put your hand in fire, you get the burn. Whether you have faith or not. So I don't have faith in fire. Ah! Right? Like that. We chant anyway, you chant Hare Krishna. You can chant without faith. You go chanting without anything. Faithlessly chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. However you chant it, it will have effect. But if you chant it with devotion, it will have more effect. It took Valmiki a long time chanting Mara, Mara, Mara. If he was chanting Ram, 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 it would have taken less time. But it nevertheless, it had effect. Now faith is in Krishna consciousness blind. We know our limits. We know what the limits of our senses are. Just like there was just a big sound over there. What was that sound? Who can say? What is it? Stone. What did you see? Someone may say, well, it was a barrel. Someone may say it was a pot. Someone may say that it was a garbage can. Or someone, you know. If somebody actually saw what it was and told us, then we would know for sure. Is it? Like that. My God, even a big better. So anyway, you take her, you give her the price there for her. Also, see this Maharaji got before we order one. And the one behind, that other Maharaji, she did. So, we know that we don't have any way of knowing what is going on in the kingdom of God. Because we've never seen it. The only way we can know is if we hear from the Lord Himself or His representative. So when we know our limitations, just like we're not against science. When some scientist is telling us how he can create life, we know he's bluffing. We don't have any faith in that. But when we hear from the representatives of Krishna, how Krishna or Krishna Himself, when He explains in the scripture how He created life, how He creates existence, we believe that. Because we know that that is the only way we can understand. Seeing is also not always believing. Because we may see things in a wrong way. One time, there was, in India, you know, they're very careful about relation between men and women. No mixing of unmarried people used to be allowed in the past. Now it's modernizing. So there he saw a young man and a woman in the middle of the street, at a distance about 200 meters away. They saw them right in the street, run to each other, and they were embracing each other in the street. And the one man said, horrible, horrible, this is immoral. And ran over there to stop this immorality going on in their pure village. But when he came close, he found out what he thought was immoral, was nothing wrong. You know what he saw? It was the mother and the son. The son had been out traveling for months and months and had come home after a long time. And it was the 25-year-old son and the 60-year-old, the 45-year-old, 50-year-old mother. And they had seen each other after a long time, and the mother came and hugged his son. There's nothing immoral about that. But from a distance, he couldn't tell the ages. And he thought it was a young boy and girl hugging in the street. You know, this is very bad. Public immoral activity. So our senses can sometimes delude us. If we want to be sure, we need to hear from the authority. So that's where we need to have the faith. So what is the limitation? There are certain things we can understand. And there are certain things beyond our understanding. And that's when we need to have the faith to know who to hear from. The scripture and Krishna, they give us explanation about those things which are beyond our normal ability to understand. And they also explain the things we do know. We can see that the explanations are valid and good. So faith is very important, but we put our faith in the proper way, in the bona fide sources of spiritual knowledge, like the bona fide guru, like the representatives of Krishna and so on. Define the term Sanatan Dharma. Who knows what Sanatan means? Eternal. Quality which is eternal. Here, loud applause. And Dharma? The religion? Well, pretty close. Actually, Dharma, there's no proper English translation. Because Dharma means that occupational duty, someone else in occupational duty. Who was that? You're trying to do, run the bank. Guru secretaries are disqualified, so don't think that we got the whole thing rigged here. Prabhupada explained Dharma means the nature of someone. The nature of something which is, it's very integral nature. Like, for instance, what is the dharma of a chili? Hot. Who said hot? And what's the dharma of sugar? Who was first? This little girl, all right. We'll give you a sweet for that. So, if a sugar was hot and not sweet, there won't be the use of it. You want to put a little sugar in your milk or something. Instead, it comes out like chili. Or if you want to add some vegetable, you want to put some chili so it gives some heat up and it comes out sweet. You want the thing to have its own natural quality. So that dharma is a natural quality. You can't separate it. Like, what is the dharma of fire? Hot. What else? Light. Who said light? All right, Kailash and this gentleman here. You that gentleman there? So, heat and light are the dharma of fire. So this, what is the dharma, this quality of the human being that is always there? All living entities have this one quality that is always there in every living entity. Who can say? To serve. Who else said over here? Rose. Double header. Come here. This one there. Come. Hare Krishna. Loud applause here. Our quality is to serve. Everyone is serving. I saw the big sign out there on the beach. Clean up after your dog. Right? It's not there. Everybody is serving. Either you have to serve your dog, or you have to serve your family, or you serve your country, or you have to serve someone. Your husband, your wife, your children. Ultimately, that supreme thing we have to serve is Krishna. Okay, here we go. Mahashringa. Someone else, I heard it. Someone else said here. Okay, come on. Congratulations, Lord of Mahat here. All the way from London, he came back home. So, serving Krishna, that is our eternal dharma. Because all these other services we're doing, they're not eternal. The dog isn't eternal, the country's not eternal, the family members aren't eternal. Actually, what's eternal is our service to God. But when we don't serve God, then we have some placebos. We have some imitations, some alternatives that we serve. So the real perfection is service to God, service to Krishna. That is the Sanatana Dharma. So Prabhupada considered Sanatana Dharma to be a synonym for Krishna consciousness. Sanatana Dharma is also what Vedic Dharma is described as. What's partly known as Hindu Dharma is actually known as Sanatana Dharma in the Vedas. It means that human civilization which is centered around service to God. Okay? Next question. Should we go on? How can we learn about the mood or nature? Why doesn't somebody else read the question? Give me a break. Read the question. Here, number four. Some people know I'm not stacking the questions.
How can one learn about the mood or nature of a spiritual master or guru? Please explain.
Who can say what is the quality of a border type guru? Pardon? He only repeats what is given in the Shastra. Okay, here. Get your reward. Out of what? Any other quality? I'm gonna recognize him. Otherwise it's too hard. Okay, here. Take the disciples back to Godhead. Okay, come and get it. Anyone else here? Pardon? Couldn't hear.
teaches by example, okay? There. Congratulations, Hare Krishna. Yes, who else? Anyone else? Yes? He likes cookies, no? Huh? He always speaks about Prasila Prabhupada. He always speaks about Guru and Krishna. Okay? Yes? Can you? To praise God. He wants to get everyone to praise God. All right. Both of you come up, get your reward here. Yes? Serve who? To serve Krishna. Okay. Here, a lot of fun. Guru is serving Krishna. Okay, enough for that one. Gonna run here. How much time we got? So, what was that question again? So how can we learn, first I wanted, people, everyone know what a guru is. How can we learn about the mood or nature of a spiritual master guru? Please explain. Well, how can we learn about the mood or nature of a guru or spiritual master? One way we can learn from the guru. How do we tell a bona fide guru? How do we tell a guru? Yes? He speaks about Krishna. So how do we tell? How do we tell? You're close, but see, he only speaks about how do we tell? How do we tell? What is the way we tell? By listening. Here, okay, come on. Here we go. We have to tell a guru by listening. You're going to get half of it. What you said was right, but it was a different question. We have to listen to the guru. So you can't tell a guru. Sometimes there's a story about the guru. He had a big beard and he had all the, looked very saintly and everything. But he wasn't a devotee of Krishna, wasn't a devotee of God, didn't know anything. But he just did, and he did a vrata. He doesn't speak to anyone, just doesn't speak. He looks very saintly. So everyone thinks he's a bona fide guru. He doesn't speak any nonsense, doesn't speak anything. But actually he doesn't know anything. So if he spoke, everyone would know, he doesn't know anything. So the way it says to know a guru is not by what he looks like. But you have to hear the guru. We tell the guru through this communication. So there's, and another way we know, we can learn to know about the guru is by following what the Bhagavad Gita tells us. What does the Bhagavad Gita say we should do in relation to our guru? Can anyone say one? Pratipandina. What is that? Can you give us a translation? To approach, to surrender to a guru. Okay, loud applause here. Pratipatina. What else? What else is Bhagavad Gita saying here? Yes? Inquire from a guru. Okay. Pratiprasnena. What else here? Back? And under service. All right, we have a run here. Come and get it. And the last one, yes? Following. What did he say? Follow. Well, that was already covered. Surrender is yes, follow the instruction. Okay, we'll give you credit for that. Who said follow the instruction? You share it with our friend back there. They gave you the hint. Yeah. So we follow the guru's instructions. We ask the guru, we accept the guru's shelter. We ask questions and we serve him. Then we ask questions, and he's merciful to us, and he gives us knowledge. Then we apply that knowledge. And then this way we start to realize the mercy of the guru in a very practical way. So we can know about
That's why he said, actually, before taking initiation from a guru, one should serve under the guru's care for some period. Usually there's a period that the disciples should test the guru for a year or more. So up from 1 to 3 years. Usually it doesn't take more than 3 years. And 1 year is minimum. So between 1 and 3 years, someone should figure out what is the mood or the nature of the guru. Whether the guru is bona fide, whether the guru, what the guru wants. And then one should either decide to take initiation or and take the shelter of the guru. That means still we understand from the guru, from other disciples of the guru, what is his idea, what is his intention. Prabhupada said that actually what we need to get from the guru is what? Who can say what we have to get from the guru? Knowledge. Well, something we need, transcendental knowledge. I'll give you the handicap, Michelle. Yes, sir. Faith and mercy. Krishna praying. Yeah, you share back those two in the back there. Now, actually, this question Prabhupada asked in Montreal, Canada. I was there, and he gave an answer that nobody expected. He said, what you have to get from the guru is his vibration. It's a vibration. In other words, actually what you have to get from the guru is not something you can just explain by words. The guru has got a certain vibration or a certain special character of devotional service in his relationship with Krishna, which has brought him close to Krishna. And that spiritual quality needs to be gotten from the guru. So you can call it a vibration or something. In other words, something not exactly describable. And it includes faith and love and everything. In order to get love for Godhead, we need to get that quality from the guru by which we can serve Krishna purely. So it's not a small question to know what is the mood or nature of the guru. That's actually the whole essence of what we should learn. It's not like academic, we just need the knowledge. We can get from a book. It's something more than that. It's something, why the guru is risking his life to give out Krishna consciousness to others, why the guru is working day and night to spread the Krishna conscious movement. What is the motivating the guru? What is it that he's tasting? That we may never know. But something of that, some essence of that devotion, of that quality that the guru had, is passed on to the disciple. Like a candle lighting another candle. And that spark is handed down by the disciplic succession. So it's very important that we achieve that. Okay, I'm going to have to give shorter answers, it seems. More questions come. Dear Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I have seen a picture which depicts a very scary form of Mahakali with a garland of skulls, multiple limbs with various weapons, and blood dripping everywhere. Prabhupada Lord Shiva is lying supine on the ground, and she is standing on him. Is this a bona fide depiction of a past time? If so, please give me the correct understanding. Your servant, Jagadananda Pandit Das. Where's Jagadananda Pandit? There you go, see. So, this form of Mahakali is very popular in Bengal. We have seen thousands of this form. So, this pastime is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned in another Purana. I can only say what I heard from the priests
in Bengal by living there for 25 years, they explained that in the Puranas it's mentioned that there was some kind of a demon who was very powerful, and he had gotten blessings from different devas so that he became indestructible for the devas. So what the devas did is that no individual deva could defeat him. So I don't know all the details of the pastime, but somehow they got Kali. You see, Durga has got various forms, and her form is of destruction is called Kali. Her form of, she has Kali, Annapurna, Chandra, Chandi, and Bhadra, and so many different forms. So one of the forms is Kali, and that's the form of destruction. Because Durga has to do for Krishna creation, srishti, maintenance, sthiti, and destruction, pralaya. She does everything on the order of Krishna. So the form that does the destruction is Kali. Now, Kali was empowered by all the different devas with some special potencies and mystic powers and weapons to defeat that demon. So, she went into a super, like a kind of super trance of rage and anger. And she was like the a living supreme weapon, indestructible. And she was just going with a chopper, and she was in this, you know, this form, and she was chopping the heads of all the demons that were attacking the devas and killing this big demon who was otherwise indestructible. And she was so ferocious, she put even the heads of those demons like a necklace around her head. She was in a mode of, you know, really getting, she was in a complete fighting mode. What happened is she defeated every demon that came to attack her. But she was so much blind with anger that she couldn't even, it was like she just was no longer seeing properly. So she kind of was headed in the direction of the devas. And the devas got really frightened. Whoa! You know, she had all their power. And then all of a sudden she's coming towards them. And how to stop her? There's no way to stop her. So the only way, they went to Shiva. And they say, you have to stop her. She's your wife. You know, she's in this mad rage and she's heading towards us. You're the only one who can stop her. But she won't even recognize Shiva. You know, if he goes in front of her, he'll get chopped too. So she was like just in a mad rage. So what he did is that he thought about it for a second. And in the road, he lied down on the road, in the pathway. So then when she was heading forward, moving forward, you know, angry, so she just stepped over this body and put her foot on the body, stepping over. But as soon as she put her foot on her husband, suddenly she looked down and suddenly she got like recollection. Oh, what have I done? I just stepped. And then her whole feminine nature, everything came back. And she lost that trance of anger that she was in. And so they show her sticking her tongue out, because in India, the custom, you make a big aparad, you make a big mistake, you go, ooh. Sometimes you see people, they go like this. Please forgive me, I made a mistake. So they show the picture of their tongue out. What it is that she's saying, oops, I made a big boo. And then, so that's, they worship her like that. It's she's a devotee of Krishna. She's the same Parvati, but she's in that different mode. So we should respect her as a devotee of Krishna. Even we don't have anything to gain from her, materially, the devotees are happy getting everything from Krishna. But we respect her as a devotee. Here's the question. What is Krishna? Who can answer that one? He's the Supreme Godhead. Here, it's here. Let's have a loud applause here. Anything else? What else? Anyone else can say the question here? What is Krishna? You can help me. Who else can say anything else about Krishna? Yes? The absolute truth, the supreme truth. Anything else? The cause of all causes. All right. Come here. Get it. Well, it lasts. Yes? Couldn't hear. The reservoir of all pleasure, yes. What was there? Who? All attract. Okay, here we go, around here. Reservoir of all pleasure. All attractive. No beginning and no ending. Come here, yes, yes. Congratulations. Anyone else? Yes, sir. The seed-giving father of all living entities. Yes, in the back there. The supreme enjoyer, Bhukta Ram Jagata Prasad. Okay, come here. Yes.
The original person.
The original person. Okay, so we got some hands, yes? Our spiritual father. All right. Supreme spiritual father, congratulations. Hare Krishna. So, this is Krishna. He's the origin of everything. He is the beginning without any beginning himself. And he has no beginning and no end. And he is the Supreme Person and the Absolute Truth. And Krishna is the Supreme Person. He's a person. But he's a spiritual person. He doesn't have a material body. He has a spiritual form. So, what other people are calling as God, we call as Krishna. But Krishna is a much more, you can see, it's a very descriptive name. It means so many things. So here we have another question. How does a devotee increase his love for Krishna? Very interesting question. So, first of all, what is love? Who can say what love is? What is the quality of love? Yeah, what did? To serve for how much an hour? What kind of service? Yes?
Love.
Love. Selfless service. Here we go. Here's the person. Come here, get your reward. Give a lot of applause there. Selfless service. That is the purity of it. We're doing that service, and we say, you're serving, but you have to, I'll serve you as long as you pay me. Is that love? It's a business, no? So, when we serve the Lord without any personal interest, that's love. What time is it?
5:30. See what's the next on the list.
So, now, there's different ways it says that we can exchange love with Krishna. Six different ways are mentioned. Anyone knows? Chanting his name is actually a very good process, but it's not one of the six things I was talking about. Maybe it's too esoteric. You see, one thing is what we do, we give something to Krishna. One of the things we can give to Krishna is chanting his holy names. That's what we give to Krishna. So, but giving something to Krishna is very important. And sometimes also receiving something from Krishna. We're taking his prasadam, we're taking things from, that's an expression of love, to give and to receive. Then another thing is accepting something that you can, something to eat, something that's offered to Krishna. You accept some food, and you take back some food from Krishna. And what's another thing? How do you express love? If you love someone, do you have any secrets from that person? We reveal our mind to Krishna. Before Krishna, no secrets. We open our mind. Krishna, I know you know everything about me. I'm telling you, I'm like this. I need your mercy that I can overcome all of my obstacles in the path of serving you. We reveal our mind to Krishna and we accept to hear, open our mind to Krishna. So this is the symptoms of exchanging love. Love is a verb. We put love by in the action. So there's nine kinds of devotional service, which are practical ways that we can engage ourselves in Krishna's service. What is the first way? Okay, there's so many I can. Second way? You raise your hand, I'll give you a cookie, but if you just shout out, you don't get credit.
What's the third? He's just showering out, you know. And the fourth one? All right, at least one person got it here. The next one is? Okay, come and get it. Worshipping the form of the Lord, Archana. Thank you. Then? Dasya? All right, anyway. Come and get it. Finally. You want all the kids for yourself? Okay, here we go. Then friendship and surrendering everything. So we do all these things, we can gradually increase our love for Krishna. But there's a secret. What pleases Krishna more than pleasing than serving Krishna himself? Who said that? Alright, come here. And those who've already got sweets 108 times, you can share it with your friends. Krishna is more pleased when you serve his devotee than when you serve Krishna himself. Why is that? Why is Krishna more pleased when you serve his devotee? Who could say? Yes? Wow, that's a very profound understanding. That the devotee is more dear to Krishna than Krishna himself. Krishna told that to one, to Durvasa. The devotee is always thinking about me, so outside he's devotee, inside is me. Because he's thinking of me, I reciprocate, I'm always thinking of my devotee. Outside I'm God, inside I'm devotee. So come and get your reward here. Because the devotee in this world is doing Krishna's confidential service. So whoever is helping that devotee, that's the way I will please Krishna especially. There's another way now. What stops us from getting love for Krishna? Who can say, what is the thing that stops us from getting love for Krishna?
Maya.
Maya cannot stop us from getting love for Krishna. What? Yeah, envy or? Aparada, you said? Who said aparada? Alright, he's here. So envy and aparada. Especially. You see, Maya is covering us from any kind of spiritual consciousness. But even a devotee cannot give love for Krishna as long as they are committing offenses. So this offense is what stops us. And offenses are due to envy. So who's envy? I'll give a... Who said envy over here? Send your representative. He's too busy. Because of offenses, we commit offenses against Krishna, and that stops us from getting that taste of love for Godhead. So how can we get rid of offenses? There's one way that we can get forgiven for offenses according to Haridas Thakur. Not exactly. How do you serve them? Quick, quick, quick. Yes, here we go. Okay, again. By serving them, by giving them Krishna. When you preach to other people, obviously, that's called preaching, right? Here, take your reward. Loud applause here, Hare Krishna. All the way from London here. Prabhupada disciple. So, when we preach to others, you know the story of Jagai Madai? Who knows story? Who is Jagai Madai? Any children here? Who can say who is Jagai Madai? Yes, here's a child. What? What? Come here, tell us. The worst singers in the whole world. And what do? Nityananda. They hit him. Yes. Here, come and get it. You too. They hit Nityananda Prabhu when he tried to give them the chanting of the holy name. But later they surrendered to Gaur Nithai, and so later Madai who had hit Nityananda. He went to see Nityananda Prabhu and he begged Nityananda, please forgive me for the offense. And Nityananda said, you see, you're like, for me, you're like a child. You're like my baby. The mother is holding the baby. The baby kicks the mother. Does the mother take offense? You're holding the baby in your arm and the baby with the little feet, they hit you and you, oh, you kick me! The mother goes like, no. The mother loves the baby, doesn't take offense. The baby kicks or hits or the little, doesn't bite because he loves. So Nityananda said, I love you. So even you hit me, it doesn't bother, like a child hits the mother, it doesn't bother the mother. It doesn't bother me. So there's no question of me forgiving you because I didn't take any offense. But then, Lord Nityananda was asked by Madai that I committed so many offenses to other people. I innocent people, citizens, old people, devotees of the residents of the dam. I committed so many offenses.
Who's the next offense?
Tell me what they got. So I committed so many offenses to them, how will I get forgiven? This is correct. This is a serious thing. You will get forgiven. Okay, well, if you do a service for everyone, if you serve the devotees spiritually, not ordinary service, spiritual service, you facilitate their serving Krishna. So you can make amazing steps going into the Ganges so that people can easily get into the Ganges. And that way, by you facilitating them to serve the Ganges, you will get forgiven for your offenses against them. So Madai, with his bare hands, he went there with a shovel and bricks, and he made a very big bathing step called a bathing ghat going into the river. So like that, if we give Krishna consciousness to others, we give them Bhagavad Gita, we give them Srimad Bhagavatam, we give them Krishna Prasadam, we give them knowledge about Krishna, that takes away from us the obstacles in the path of our devotional service and makes it easier for us to get. What do we get easier? What's the topic of this question? I know you all forgot. Krishna what? Krishna? Praying. Who said Krishna praying? Okay, come here. Get your cookie. Why? Because everyone forgot the question. How does a devotee increase his love for Krishna? I have to give a shorter answer. We're waiting here. And Parthasarathi Prabhu is next. Hare Krishna Maharaj, what happens to a person when he leaves his body while asleep?
Well, there's no such special thing that where a person goes when you're asleep. According to one's karma, they'll get the next birth. Now, if you're a devotee, Krishna promises the main bhakta pranashati, that my devotees will never perish. So Krishna protects his devotees, whether they die conscious or unconscious. Maybe someone's visibly asleep, but they may be dreaming about Krishna. So if someone is a devotee, they're guaranteed to go on in their devotional service. Can the devotee enter into pure devotional service in a short time? Does anyone know an example? What is the short time that someone can enter into pure devotional service? Any example? Yes, sir. No. What is an example of someone who achieved Krishna in a short period of time? Who? Dhruva Maharaj. Anyone else? Maharaj Katvanga. Who?
Hanuman.
Katvanga, that's the closest. How long did it take Katvanga to reach Krishna consciousness? Anyone knows here? How long did it take? Nobody knows. You already getting one. Who knows how long did it take Maharaj Katvanga to get Krishna consciousness?
Raise your hand, who knows? Huh?
1 second.
1 second, not exactly. A moment. 1 moment. A moment. So Muhurta. Muhurta is about 45 minutes.
Very funny, 1 second.
Of course, here you get teenagers, they do starving. 1 moment. 1 moment. In Sanskrit, it said one muhurta. What happened, Kalpananda Maharaj, he asked the devas, he was fighting for the devas, and he was such a great king and a great warrior that he was fighting in an interplanetary battle for the residents of the higher planets. After being victorious with them, then they wanted to express their gratitude. They say, is there anything we can give you?